Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we ask that you plant the seed of faith deep in our hearts, water it with your word, let your sun shine on it, and let it come to fruition however you see fit. Amen. So I had this new basket of flowers that I just hadn't had a chance to deal with, and so it was sitting on the ground outside of my house. Well, when I woke up the next day and checked on it, I noticed that a lot of the flowers that had already started were missing, and there were lots of little stumps all around the basket. It seems our floppy-eared friend in the neighborhood decided to find a tasty treat and help itself to some lovely flowers, rather than eating the grass that is all over our yard. Well, I decided to hang the basket up after that, and the next morning I woke up, and it looked like a pair of mourning doves decided to declare that basket their new home. And so I had to move the basket yet again. So after taking the basket down and then putting it in a safe spot, I accidentally forgot to water it the following day, and so the flowers wilted. And so now I was left with one chewed up, mashed in, droopy mess of a basket. Now, a few weeks later, after those natural disasters, the basket is actually looking quite nice. And it surprises me how baskets are able to recover. I should say the plants themselves are able to recover after having those things happen to them. This incident helped me visualize our scripture text for today. What happens when you dig out dandelions or creeping Charlie, or in our case here at Grace, the buckthorn at the back of our property line? They continue to come back. This is the case with plants that we like as well, though. Many times, parts of the plant break off and new shoots come forth. From the text today, I'd like to compare God's love to this image of a plant regenerating. Think of happy plants we like, though, in this image. The world may try to cut out parts of God's love. We may not treat one another like we should, and that's the damage done to our favorite plants. But the plant continues to adapt and form new branches, and God's love continues to persevere despite our influences. This message of love is found throughout the Bible and in our sacraments. The first three commandments start off by showing us how we should love God. The remaining seven commandments show us how we're to love one another. Perhaps those seven commandments are a sign that God is saying we really, really need to spend some time working on how we interact with one another and how we love one another. Maybe. Maybe so. In John's Gospel, Jesus shares the importance of loving others to the point of risking your life for one another. Risking your life for one another may raise a warning flag for some of us, though. This could also include risking your own reputation, something which is highly coveted, and perhaps yet another warning flag for some of us. We're called as God's children to help repair what's broken, to love one another even when it's tough, perhaps even to our own physical and social detriment. As the writer of 1 John reminds us, war leaves its toll, but love conquers all, and love is what unites us all. We have a desire to be a social people, and we can't do that if we can't get along with one another, right? Our message today is to live a life in love. All this talk of love, and yet it's not Valentine's Day, but perhaps that's a message and a reminder for all of us that we should look at each day as Valentine's Day, loving one another, not just on February 14th. Let's consider looking at love then with a new focus. Jesus was called rabbi, which means teacher, someone who knew the scriptures and could teach and speak about them. A rabbi's disciples were people who followed them and were considered servants and helpers. Those who were assigned pretty much grunt work. But in the gospel text, Jesus is laying out his new org chart for his disciples and promoting them to show them a new kind of way of love. Jesus tells them that they shouldn't be considered servants, but as friends. Jesus, in the next sentence, says, "Not only do I call you friends, but I chose you," as Jesus chooses each of us. "I saw something special in you," he tells his disciples. "You had the gifts to carry out the tasks that need to be done. Love the people you teach. Even when sharing the gospel is hard, love them. Even when they don't want to hear my message, or when they cause you harm, love them." It's not an easy task for the disciples, especially in the Roman Empire, where Caesar is considered a god, loving the unlovable, even at the risk of physical, mental, or spiritual attacks. God loves us and has given each of us gifts like the disciples, and we're called to share this message of love. We aren't all wired like the disciples to share and debate scripture texts, and God knows that. But we are wired to love and form connections with others. We're capable of finding a way to love each other and sharing the gospel message with those around us. Our high schoolers next week will be hosting a food drive in which they are collecting food and giving back to the community and the food pantry, displaying God's love. This is just one way in which we can show love to one another. In today's society, this could mean restoring lost connections, loving the haters, loving your annoying coworkers, loving the person who hurt you deeply, or loving your crazy family members. There are easy words to say, but they may need a long-term plan to carry out. And like the plants that take a beating, or in my case, an eating, they come back in new ways, and our relationship can do the same thing if we take the time to work at them. Today's gospel message is a call to restoration. By loving others, we share that gospel message, even if we aren't using words from the scriptures. So, rebuild relationships that are worn and torn. Love when it's hard to love. Show love in a new way, even when it's easy. Through these changes, we are answering God's call through the gospel text today. Amen.